Hey, do you know we spun off all of my YouTube content from the Ringer's YouTube channel into its own YouTube channel? Yeah, you could subscribe at youtube.com/Bill Simmons. All the videos from this podcast and the rewatchables, as well as 6 years of content that we've done. A lot of great interviews, a lot of special stuff. Go check it out. Subscribe, youtube.com/Bill Simmons. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. While you refresh your space and take care of your spring cleaning, now's a great time to look into Simply Safe home security. It's the only home security I use, and I can't recommend it enough, especially as we head toward the summer when people disappear, when they go on vacations, when they go do things, and you don't want to leave your house or your apartment on its own. You deserve some peace of mind. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I hope you're checking out the Prestige TV podcast. We have new stuff on Ozarks, the first four episodes of the new season, as well as the newest Euphoria episode, big Hall of Fame episode of an old Prestige show coming later this week. I'm not going to spoil that one. I am going to spoil Monday Night's Rewatchables because I tipped it off. You should follow me on Instagram. Sometimes I'll tip off things. Sometimes I'll post dumb videos. I think I have a solid Instagram. I think I have a high batting average on it. Anyway, posted a video from Casino, the blackjack scene, because we're doing Casino and it's coming on Monday night. We had been due to do an A-lister for a few weeks now. We hadn't done like a true banger for a while. So that's coming Monday night. Me, Sean Fennessy, Chris Ryan. Brian Koppelman was supposed to be on it, but he flew back to New York. So that's what you get. You're 3,000 miles away, Koppelman. Sorry. So Casino, Monday night, the rewatchables. Check it out. Coming up on this podcast. Whoo! The greatest round two of all time. I hate the greatest. I hate the GOAT. I hate all that stuff without like real evidence. There's no way we had four better games in one weekend than this. Cousin Sal and I are going to break all of it down. Winning bets, losing bets, dumb decisions, heroes, goats. We'll make fun of Aaron Rodgers. We got it all for you. It's all next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we're taping this. It's a little before 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Needed an extra hour after those games. I needed to just regroup. Sal needed to drive home. He was watching with a bunch of friends. Best weekend ever for football. I don't even think it's debatable. I don't even know what would be second place.
I was thinking about it on my drive home. I was just driving in circles, like just so happy to have football. But I was thinking like, okay, if they could have come to you, the gambling gods and the football gods, and said, all right, we're going to give you the worst playoff weekend of all time last week. It's going to be marred by officiating and poor play and bad luck and just stupid crap throughout the weekend. But in exchange, you will get one game where the officials are not involved and you're going to see the greatest playoff performance of all time. And I think that's what we just saw in the Chiefs, Bills. And two quarterbacks, statistically, no two quarterbacks have had over 123 passer rating in the playoffs before. That was as dynamite as it gets, and that's why we're football fans.
What's funny is that game could have sucked, and it still would have been an incredible weekend because all the other games were great. Heading into that game, it just had to be like a B-, and it would have been, I think, the best.
Well, the games were... You thought the games were great? I was arguing with Hench about this. Like, the endings were all great, but that Packers-Niners game wasn't great. For 2 hours, that Rams-Bucks game wasn't great.
Well, I beg to differ. I thought they were incredibly dramatic. Bengals Titans was just like watching a team figure out all these different ways to shoot themselves in the foot. That was riveting, especially if you bet on them. The Packers Niners game, There was just a lot of subplots and weird shit going on. Because you had Rodgers, who all of a sudden couldn't do anything anymore. You had Jimmy G, who's just a heart attack every play. You had this tough Niners team. You had guys getting walking off the field left and right. Special teams. It was snowing. It was 0 degrees. Like, that was a fun game.
Let me just ask you one thing regarding the Packers-Niners game. Can I borrow $83,000? I'll pay you back over 7 years, interest free, but you'll get it eventually. I got some things cooking.
So you didn't like for a touchdown?
I added like any of it. What would you have thought? I forget about the live lines, which we're always looking at, but what would you have thought the live line was when Green Bay comes down and scores in 2 minutes? And then on 3rd and 12, Jimmy G gets sacked by Za'Darius Smith, who's coming back from injury, and 4th and 21. You must be like, oh my God, they're going to win by 34 points. Let alone, can they score more than 3 the rest of the game? It's insane to me. I don't know where you want to start with it. You want to start with that game or this one?
No, let's start Bills Chiefs, and then we'll go backwards.
Yeah.
Bills Chiefs, you know, and Twitter is partly responsible for this, but every time anything amazing happens, everybody rushes to say it was the greatest game ever. I just want to say that wasn't the greatest NFL playoff game ever, but I think it moved into some whatever list, however many you want to put on there, of these games that happened mostly in our lifetime, but there are a couple before. Games that you just could remember with like 2 words, 3 words, 1 short sentence. Like when we grew up, the Immaculate Reception, which neither of us were old enough to, you know, to remember. But that was like a famous game, right? We're both old enough to remember the Kellen Winslow 41-38 Dolphins-Chargers game. The catch was probably one of the worst sports losses of your childhood.
Plug my ears. Yeah.
The fumble, the drive. Like we've had 7 or 8 non-Super Bowl, and this just moved in there. This was the game where it was like Allen and Mahomes were just out of their minds, and I've never seen two quarterbacks on a stage like that just kind of raise the stakes, almost like, I don't know, it was like watching Jenga, just people pulling things out of a Jenga stack, like, all right, now you're up. And it just kept going.
Amazing. And they ran the ball too, right? You don't see that from all those games you named. Like, it was, all right, great passing performances or one of the quarterbacks run. Have you seen two quarterbacks run for first downs as hard as those two guys did?
No.
Like, just taking, like, Mahomes, like,
Allen,
I just
knocked
need a
the guy
break.
Out. The guy was scared off the field in the fourth quarter.
So damn good. And as you know, as much as you want to celebrate football, I went to college in upstate Western New York. I have a lot of Bills fans, friends there, I know. And they are, I hate being serious, but they're amongst the greatest fans out. I'm not just saying that because it's a mafia and they could kill me. But for God's sakes, this in totality, I think is worse than, is it worse than one of the Super Bowls? I mean, the Cowboys Super Bowl, that first one wasn't close. Right, the Bills were winning at halftime against the Giants. They were beat up by Washington. This is terrible. Just
Norwood,
terrible.
Norwood's still the worst.
Norwood,
if you make it, you win the Super Bowl.
But this is,
I think
this
is
has
second.
Everything's in the past, and this, like, this is so 13 seconds. FanDuel had it 16-1 odds that the Chiefs would win with 13 seconds left.
Oh, seriously?
And how many times do I text you, House and Hench, like the live line for the Chiefs? And I just forgot to do it this week because
it's
was
funny.
So fixated on the game.
When they kicked off through the end zone and the clock didn't move.
Yeah.
I actually thought to myself, oh my God, because a few years ago when the Pats played the Chiefs, they had more time, but it was a slightly similar situation where we scored with like 30 seconds left. And it was like, oh, this is over. And then the Chiefs moved 50 yards and like, it felt like 3 plays, and all of a sudden they were, you know, back in the game. Look, you have to make the clock move somehow, but all the people were like, you have to squib it. Like, they were terrified of Tyreek Hill. And to me,
Was he back there?
He was. Okay. And I think he was. You don't think he was back there?
I'm not sure. I'm reading conflicting reports. I guess he was, but I don't know. I just read something that he might have.
Well, I mean, at some point it felt like it was either the Tyreek Hill game or the Gabriel Davis game. And now I think it's the Mahomes Allen game, because I think that's what we'll remember. But Hill was so frightening that they kicked it through the end zone. Now, people were saying, I don't know why nobody's tried this, but you could basically just tackle receivers, get the 5-yard penalty
at the line of scrimmage.
You could do it once.
I think you could do it once, and then you're not called for a personal foul. So on first down, you could do that, bleed 5 seconds, and then he has to throw the Hail Mary. That would have been, if you're coach is on the ball and just not enthralled by what's going on, then that would have been the play. Yeah.
Well, you know what you shouldn't do is just give up two 25-yard passes.
Yeah.
And then I felt so bad for the Bills fans. I mean, of all the teams, there's really three terrible teams. I guess four. The Bills, the Vikings, the Browns, and then the Lions, who never even get to play in the playoffs. But if they did, this would be a terrible loss. But those are the four that you're kind of, it's a terrible loss anyway. But as you're watching, you're going, oh man, not these fans. No.
Yeah.
Not to these people. You think 13 seconds left. You even with Mahomes, you assume the game's over. As you said, 16-1 odds that the Chiefs can win. But then you see the Bills, you're like, all right, this makes sense.
And then you talk about those fan bases, but I bet if you're a Bills fan, you take a Lions fan aside and like you tell them you have no idea how good you have it.
You're better off. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, the good news is they have Josh Allen, but the bad news is that he might be snake bitten. He might just have to go against Mahomes, you know, or Herbert or Lamar. It just the AFC quarterbacks are tremendous. And Burrow, who's actually in the semifinals. So I don't know what to take of it, but
I actually wrote that down. As I was watching the game, I realized that everybody in the AFC is screwed except for the teams with Allen and Mahomes and Herbert and Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, like, I have Mac Jones, who's a perfectly nice quarterback. I love Mac Jones. But in a game like the one we saw today, we have no chance against Mahomes or Allen. Like
Deshaun Watson, who knows where he ends up. But yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like what happened in the NBA where you have, at some point, there's like four guys that can win the title or five guys. And if you don't have one of those five guys, you can delude yourself into thinking you have a chance. You know,
they're
you
not
can win
gonna
a couple
lose.
Rounds,
yeah.
But odds are you're going to probably lose to LeBron or Durant or whoever it is. And that's how I felt watching that game. I was like, wow.
That game was so fucking good. I still can't get over it. How crazy. And I don't need a million points scored, although we were owed for all our parlays and anytime touchdowns and everything. It was nice after that shit show yesterday where nobody at all scored. Like Tannehill threw the only touchdown pass yesterday. Tannehill. It was terrible. And he had the only touchdown pass.
It seemed like this game was, what was the final over under? It seemed like this game was going to go under at one point.
54. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we could talk about like, you know, we were arguing back and forth about like the punting, the decision to punt. I was like, you got to punt. You're at your 31 yard line. You could punt. This is an average scoring game. At the time, it was 23-21 with 12 minutes left. It's like, you're stopping the Chiefs. They're getting field goals.
Yeah.
It's not 45-38 here in the fourth quarter. I thought those were decent decisions to punt at the time. And then it just got just crazy at the end.
I felt like Allen, anytime he wanted, could run for 3 yards from the shotgun, which is something that they really unleashed over the last 8 weeks. But you had, you know, you had the Bucker misses the PAT after Jay Feely puts the all-time kibosh on Bucker. I'll never forgive, as somebody bet on the Chiefs, I'll never forgive Jay Feely. They're showing Bucker. He hasn't kicked anything yet. Jay Feely's like, this guy, other than Justin Tucker, is the best kicker in the league. I'm like, oh, great.
Right.
He's definitely missing now.
He's done.
Comes in, misses a 50-yard field goal, misses a PAT. So I'm calculating those points. Anyone who has the over in the game is like, oh, there's 4 points out the window. But Casey goes up 9. Allen has the 25-yard touchdown. And then there's this weird sequence where Casey punts. Buffalo has it. They punt, like you mentioned, where it felt like, why don't you? You're probably not getting the ball back. Now Tyreek has the big punt return. Now it's like, oh, Chiefs have this. They have it won.
Right.
And then we have that crazy 3rd-and-1 play where all of a sudden Mahomes is running to the left. He's a wide receiver. And I think it wasn't even Kelsey. It was like Blake Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 81. It's like, yeah.
Sal.
Backup tight end is taking a snap. Now, taking the snap part is rough for a guy who hasn't taken a snap, let alone the playoff game.
Sal. How does Mahomes not have the ball there? If you score, you win. You're up 2 scores. It's 3rd-and-1. You have 2 chances, 3rd-and-1. You have your fucking backup tight end doing shotgun pitch plays. What is happening?
There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for the backup tight end or anything, but there's a better play. But that him getting injured on that quarterback sneak against Denver 2 years ago really screwed that up. It took that play out of there, right? So then the defense knows that's not going to be a quarterback sneak, and then you can kind of key on whoever's in the backfield. Now you can do something tricky with Tyreek Hill
You know that play they have because you've seen them do it 100 times. Quick the snap, sweep. Mahomes rolls out and throws that quick 3-yard slant to Hill, who's the fastest guy on earth.
Yeah.
And he's always open. Either way, Mahomes way has better to have options. The ball. So yeah. Somehow, I think this is like one of the lessons of this whole season is coach hero ball. These coaches, yeah. They can't just be like, Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to overthink this. Nope. Here comes Blake Bell. They're never going to see this one coming. So anyway, now
you've always had a hard on for Blake Bell, though.
I do like when he's in the shotgun. So
is
then
it
we
Blake
have,
Bell? Is that an actress or it is Blake Bell? Is his name Blake Bell? Yeah, I guess it is.
No, that's Lake Bell was the actress.
Oh, Lake Bell.
So Buffalo gets the ball back.
Different people? Yeah.
Allen's on 4th and 4 and does that huge shotgun scramble thing and just makes a play, which was awesome. That leads to the 4th and 13 TD to Davis.
Well, you skip over that. That's insane, 4th and 13. Like, you could have kicked the field goal there and then be done by, then just need one more field goal. But 4th and 13 throws a bullet in there.
Well, because they knew they probably weren't getting the ball back. By the way, he breaks the guy's ankles on that, Davis. So then they get the 2-point on yet another incredible Josh Allen rolling around, pulling a play out of his ass, sitting the guy in back of the end zone. Then Tyreek has a 64-yarder, comes all the way back, Davis scores.
But are you thinking Tyreek should have gone down? Like, you're giving Allen too much time. Go down, make them spend their timeouts. Then you're starting to think Madden video game-esque, right? Like, this is way too much time for both quarterbacks. But yeah, go ahead. He scores with, a minute 13?
I had Chiefs minus one. I'm delighted Hill scores. And 10 seconds later, I'm like, oh, God, there's too much time. And it's like, there's no way Josh Allen, who hasn't been deterred by anybody in the Chiefs the entire game. So then they come back down. Davis scores, 13 seconds left, and you know the rest. So now we get to the coin toss. The Chiefs lost to my Patriots a couple years ago. And I'm going to change my opinion slightly on this because that
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Why? Because the Pats didn't win the coin toss an hour ago?
I have a better idea. Yeah. So initially, it's like, look, you stop the other team. Don't give up a touchdown. Get the ball. If you give up a touchdown, you deserve to lose. The Pats beat the Falcons this way. They beat the Chiefs this way. I do think there's something to the defenses being just dead in the overtime.
Of course. It's not fair.
I was able to watch it objectively this time without my team. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, Buffalo's defense is dead.
Yeah. But you can actually see their breath. And when it's coming out like rapid fire, that means they're about to have a heart attack. Maybe it should be more than just one possession.
So a couple months ago, I've been waiting to tell you about this. I follow this Twitter account called Quirky Research.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this thing a couple months ago. They had this article from the Boston Globe in 1980 or 81. And the Pats, when I was a kid, they would just lose in overtime every time. So the Pats were complaining about the overtime rules. And they suggested, the coach, Ron Earhart, his suggestion was that in overtime, this was 40 years ago, and it's like one of the best ideas I've ever heard. I can't believe I've never heard it. First team gets the ball in OT. If they score, the number of plays that it took for them to score, the other team gets the ball, and they now have to score in the same amount of plays or less.
Interesting. Is this? I feel like this is like, no, honestly, I kind of name that tune-ish, but yeah, something
like
that.
If the Chiefs, they score a touchdown, right? They score in 6 plays. If we're watching today, now Buffalo has the ball. They have to score a touchdown in 6 plays or they lose.
6 is a tie? 6 tie or 5 plays? Like they have to do one less?
Yeah, I mean, so you can't have 6 and 6. KC gets the ball back.
Yeah.
If maybe, I don't know, I didn't see that part in the Globe article. If it's less than 6, do they actually win? But maybe they have to score in 6 plays and then it just keeps going. But I like that idea more than just Josh Allen just loses without touching the ball.
That's not bad. Or just how about the Chiefs kick it off after going up 6 or 7? That's it. And then just play it out.
So you wouldn't like the play counter on the bottom in overtime where Romo's like, okay, Jim, that's 4 plays. But they're on the 15.
I guess it'd be exciting.
They can get this with 6 plays. Buffalo has to score in 6 plays. No?
It is more exciting, but it doesn't really jive with the rest of how rules go. But I like it.
What does?
I don't know.
What rule makes sense where Josh Allen calls tails, they lose, and he never sees the ball again. They couldn't stop him.
I know it. I'm just glad the refs didn't blow it, really. They almost did, and we both thought, actually with the Rams game, but all right, we'll get to that. But
we'll get to that.
Yeah. I mean, this was phenomenal.
No, this game...
Yeah.
So did you think with Tyreek Hill, when he's running and he does the peace sign, I'm like, they're not going to flag that, right? Like, please? Because did you see that?
Yeah.
That's been called all year. They've called
of course.
The taunting penalty, but they put it away that game.
Yeah.
So What do we, so what do we remember this game? This is the Allen versus Mahomes game. What do we call this game? This the Allen Mahomes game? Because you think, I mean, like, the great games you can always remember with some sort of something.
Can we just call it the Tony Romo game? I mean, the guy's got nothing. He's got nothing. Just give it to him. Even though he wasn't on the field.
All right. So yeah. what do we say to Buffalo fans? What do we say?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I move to the NFC. Move to the NFC North somehow. You're in the North. Go to the NFC to petition the league and just say, look, our fan base, this town is crippled with misery over this football
team. I know
team.
We're in New York. I know we're on the East Coast. Yeah. But if you really think about it, the Giants are in New York too. And it makes it. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, Buffalo's not that far from Cleveland or any. Yeah, they could get a North. They can get a North division by them, you know? I don't know what to say. Josh Allen is a phenomenal talent and he should be great. And you have a Hall of Famer on the roster for the next, God willing, decade. But can he lose to Mahomes every year? Probably. It's very sad.
I have a couple of things to say that will make the Buffalo fans actually mad or not feel better. One is just unleash Allen the whole game. What was up with all the handoffs? What are you doing? They couldn't stop. Anytime Allen went back to pass, either he found the guy right away or he scrambled for time. He was noticeably faster and stronger than every defensive lineman who was chasing him. It just didn't matter. It was like
beating the shit out of the defense.
We have two guys getting you from both sides. No, he sidesteps him, runs around, gets 6 yards, whatever. And I just think they should have scored every time. I actually think their offense seemed more potent than the Chiefs' offense, even though the Chiefs won. Like I came away from that game thinking like, especially when the two D-backs went out and they're running the ball. And it's like the Chiefs secondary was flimsy anyway. Then they lost Honey Badger. They lost one other guy. It's like, why aren't you attacking these guys? And then finally,
Gabriel Davis is a career day. Like just, what more do you have to do? What did he have? 201 yards on 8 catches?
Four touchdowns.
The one thing where it's, 4 touchdowns. But Devin Singletary, wasn't he running the ball well in the beginning? What the hell happened there? Like, I was thinking, like, if these quarterbacks do need a break from running, where is Singletary? Where's Edwards-Helaire even had probably the best run of his career? And like, and then it just, no, it's got to be quarterbacks taking care of everything.
If you had to guess, how many Mahomes-Allen playoff games are we getting? What would you set the over-under for?
Oh, wow.
If we're betting that. Would you say 5.5?
Yeah, this is good. Okay.
6.5? Because conceivably, they should play each other every year.
They should, but Burrow, all those guys we mentioned, Burrow and Herbert could pick one of them off, depending on if a game is on. I think 3.5 more is fair.
Well, the biggest thing, and this is what Schrager and I, we picked KC in the $1 million picks. The big thing was Mahomes is like, oh, Josh Allen's the new hot toy. Watch this. He definitely did that. Now, Allen didn't get psyched out. He gave it right back to him. But I thought that was just an incredible Mahomes game.
Phenomenal.
Some of the throws, some of the angles, like both of those guys were doing shit. It was like watching, honestly, it was like watching basketball players. It was like
Mahomes, he threw a 15-yard pass that I don't think was ever 3.5 feet off the ground.
Right.
I'd never seen it, right? Like a completed pass, like just really rifled like a shortstop throwing across the diamond. I mean, we've seen it before, but not that far and that low.
Yeah when you
just,
talk about
one drive after another was better.
Yeah, when you talk about the great games ever, we said Brady and Manning had these, but really more during the regular season. That in the 06 AFC title game, it had the makings of it, but man, you know, the Pats didn't have the weapons that Manning had in that game. I don't remember two QBs in a winner go home game where it felt like basketball. And by the way, it wasn't like an incredible game or anything the first three quarters. It really was like
it went to another level for an hour.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, amazing. That's what I was saying. It became basketball.
You didn't blame the teams for punting, which seems in retrospect seems insane. But there wasn't a ton of scoring.
I didn't like the second. I didn't like that Bills punt.
Yeah.
I just felt like they were getting 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2 anytime they wanted.
Was it 4th-and-1
or whatever
what
it was? It was 4th-and-3. What was that one when they punted when it was 23-21?
Oh, it was at least 4th-and-3. Yeah,
I didn't like it.
I'm telling you, 23-21 is an average score in the fourth quarter. Like, they were stopping the Chiefs, stopping by, you know, at three. You know, it wasn't like the Chiefs of 2 years ago until the end.
Andy Reid used to lose those games was the other thing.
Mm.
You know, and he's one of those guys where the Super Bowl feels like it shifted his something.
Yeah.
Because that was like one of the snake pit coaches we had. Now we have this Buffalo thing. But their fans were really confident. I think this probably stung as much as anything since the Norwood game, just because they felt like we finally have the winning horse. Like, this is it. Nobody understands how good Josh Allen is. And by the way, they weren't wrong. Josh Allen was amazing. So they actually was the right thing to think. But
yeah, fuck. Of course, when you beat your division rival by 70 points, whatever it was last week, and it was more than the final score even indicated, how you have to feel good about your team, right? And the fact that they lost last year in KC, and they made those mistakes, like you said, on 4th-and-2, not going for it, kicking a field goal last year. Like, all right, they were exactly a year away. Now, wouldn't you say, like, I think we probably, if you listen back to our podcast after that Chiefs-Bills game, one of us or both of us said, yeah, this team's a year away. And this was the year. It's like, oh, shit. Maybe now this just happens over and over and over. Yeah, poor Bills
I thought fans. Of the name for the game, and then we'll go to break.
Go ahead.
I think it's the 13 seconds game.
13? Just 13?
It's the 13 seconds game. Yeah, it's like, or the 13 game or whatever. But that's 13. How people remember this. 13 seconds
game is good. Yeah.
Our friend Hench was saying, call it squib game.
Mm-hmm.
A little too cute. Classic Hench. Just
Come
like
on,
a
Hench.
Little bit of a reach. Come on, Hench.
Right.
I feel like Hench
not home
be better.
Improvement.
Anyway, did you feel like the winner of this game was winning the Super Bowl?
Well, how about this? You know, everyone's like, they should just play 4-7. I think there should be a loser's bracket. I don't know how they would do this, but I want to see this again
loser's
as
bracket.
The Super Bowl. So let the Bills play the Niners and the Bengals play the Rams, and the two winners play and get to play the Chiefs. I think that's fair. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that.
Well, the Chiefs on FanDuel are +125 right now to win. Rams +210, Niners +450, and the Bengals 8-1. All right.
You want to hear something sick real quick before you throw it a break? Before the Monday night game, so 6 days ago, Arizona plays the Rams, right? Rams killed
them.
Yeah. Before the game, the Chiefs Rams Super Bowl was 17-1. And we're
really?
6 days. Yeah, it was 17 because they had to win the extra game, the Rams. But still, like, how bizarre is that? 17-1. All right, go to your break.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. All right. So normally this would have been the biggest game of the weekend, but we'll just go backwards to the first Sunday game. Rams-Bucks, one of the dumbest games I've ever watched.
Yeah.
Here's my take. Because I think Tom Brady, I think he's done. I think he's going to retire. It's a guess.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not reporting it. I just think that was it. It's the perfect way to go out. If you're not going to go out with like a Super Bowl, because I think it's actually hard.
Last year was probably the perfect way.
Well, but I think it's hard to retire when you've won, right? You're going to be like, we're going to do it again. But if you almost have to get kicked in the nuts to want to be like, that was stupid. So they leave where he has Godwin gets hurt. He loses his offensive line. Antonio Brown embarrasses him. And you could kind of see I don't want to say he was on autopilot, but he wasn't like the fired up fist pump. We're going to do this. He was there. He was involved. But it had the makings from the beginning of like, they're going to lose. And then 27-3. And it was like something switched where it's like, it is Brady. And I think we're all thinking it. Mm. And then it actually starts happening. And the Rams are just like, we're prepared to do the biggest choke of all time. It doesn't happen. But it's basically the bizarro version of Super Bowl 36, his first Super Bowl win against the Rams. Where he brings them all the way back. This miracle, you bet on the Rams in that game. This miracle, it's 27 all, 42 seconds. And then the Rams fucking cut their hearts out and Brady loses, much like Kurt Warner in that game. And it just feels like there's some symmetry there. I don't want to see him have the year that Peyton Manning had, that last Denver year when he was like noodle arm Manning, and it was like, oh man, he stayed too long. Or like Roethlisberger
would be bad.
Yeah. I just think like you're 44, you've set every record, you won 7 Super Bowls. This was amazing. You're not, I think the ship has sailed with this Bucs team. Your coach looked like he was in a coma for half the game. Godwin's going to be back midway through next season. They have a lot of cap shit. I don't think he can win the Super Bowl with this team again anyway. So I think he should walk off.
Well, you might be right, but it just doesn't jibe with all he's been saying, that he's going to play to 50. And I know that's just a funny thing to say, but he's healthy enough to do it. I agree that it is now an uphill climb with this Bucs team. It is, right? Took them to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. And now with all those guys, I'm not going to repeat everything you just said. But, and, you know, the coach is abusive. He beats the crap out of these players.
So he is.
Probably just want to leave home at this
point. He's an abuser.
If you're Brady. But, yeah, and he had one completion through like 14 minutes. Like it was kind of sad to watch. Like if this is going to be their demise, I'm glad they came back. I'm glad it was close. That would have choke job. That would have been for the Rams. But is he done? Again, we're going to talk eventually about the Packers. But I think the NFC is winnable. We just talked about the AFC and how, oh boy, it's going to be one of 5 quarterbacks, and that's that. The NFC is going to bounce around a little bit. You could have a new team in there every year, and I think they're just as good as anybody in that conference. Well,
don't the Niners have cap space?
The Niners, I think, do have cap space. The I wonder Packers if the move, don't. The Saints don't. Yeah.
I wonder if the move is for him to jump to the Niners because he's from there, and that's like, and he's like kind of rent a QB for their last Super Bowl. They trade Jimmy G for whatever. Lance is a year away. He might even be the Bruno Cabasio Memorial. A year away from being a year away. But you bring Brady in for one and that's how it ends. I think he's this really smart, calculating guy about football stuff. Like a lot like how LeBron is, where he just, he sees everything through the prism of, can I win a title? And there's no way he's leaving this Bucs season and going, yep, Bruce Arians, Godwin coming back from knee surgery, a shitty cap situation, defense a year older, like, this is it. We got it next year, because never felt like they were that close. I didn't think.
Yeah, I know the cap space is a problem, but if you want Tom Brady to stay, they can maybe open something up for a free agent. I don't even know who's really on the market there, that free agent-wise, this year, or, you know, there's always some studs in the draft. I don't know. They'd have to make it appealing for him, but yeah, I agree.
He could go to the Niners for like $1 million.
Sure.
It's like, hey, this is how I want to win my 8th Super Bowl. Is that I fair to home Jimmy and I'm G? Retiring.
What is it really, Jimmy? You talk about Bills fans being despondent. What would Jimmy G do if that happens? Like, now this guy's following me to my team I took to potentially the Super Bowl twice in 3 years.
Well, we almost had the Jimmy G versus Brady. It felt like it was in the air when it was 27-27. How many quarterbacks in your lifetime, when it's 27-3, do you feel like they're in the game the way we did with Brady, who, by the way, is 44 years old and past his prime, let's be honest. But like, where there's this mythic element to him now. And even you could see Beckham, they interviewed him after the game and he's like, yeah, man, I didn't feel safe. They got the goat on the other sideline. Like, there's something hanging in the air that's just felt different. Like, it's definitely when he retires, he's taking that with him.
I think what was hanging in the air was Cam Akers' fumble, which brought him back in there. It was hanging forever. And then, like, that brought them back. But
fumble?
Exactly. There's only a handful. Elway, I wouldn't even say 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Brady's one of the few that could do it.
Well, that would have been, for a second, the Rams looked like they were channeling.
But what the hell? What is we want to talk about Arians blitzing? Like, this is insanity with Cooper Kupp.
Well, so the Rams, they fumble right before the half, and it would have been 27-3, and, you know, before halftime, and they're getting the ball to start the second half. So the Rams get a reprieve there. And then over and over again, they're just giving the ball back. But it's 27-13 with 4 minutes left. Brady hits Evans. Evans just dusted Jalen Ramsey, who I thought was the best cornerback in the league. He got demolished. 27-20. Rams completely roll over. Bucks come down. I mean, it was right up there with what we saw from the Falcons. I mean, they didn't have the Matt Ryan taking a dumb sack and knocking themselves out of field goal range moment, but they had all the other things from that game, right?
Yeah. Well, don't forget, Cup was third and 20 when they converted too, like earlier in the game. And then, right. I mean, that's the one thing you can't give up is if like a 55-yard pass inbounds or I guess out of bounds would be even worse, but you're sending somebody. And what did Arian say? You sent the quote. What did he say? Take me to task or something? Call me out on it?
No, not all of our guys knew we were blitzing. So if you want to second guess us on that, I guess you could or something.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yes, I'd like to take you up on your offer. I rewatched it. There were six guys blitzing and Cup, who was the best receiver all season, who was good in that game. And he just runs a straight line down the middle of the field and they don't cover him.
Talk about holding a guy at the line of scrimmage. That start with him. Star number 10.
Right. As he's going by, just like horse collar him, do anything. Yeah. But yeah, that was one of the dumbest collapses. And what's funny is that Bills Chiefs game was so great. All of these other kind of goats from the weekend fade in the background, right? Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Everyone on the Bruce Arians, all the people on the Rams who contributed. And then the Rams come out of that game. And you know, that like I thought who was announcing the game? NBC. It was Al and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And so Akers fumbles in the first half, and then they have the ball and they're trying to score. And Chris is like, "Oh, Al, I love this. you know, he's telling Cam Akers, You're my guy. You go right back to him, Al." And so I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And then Cam Akers fumbles like 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
Second fumble of the day. By the way, he was terrible. 24 carries, 46 yards.
I know. I love the 1-2 punch with Akers and Michelle. I was talking about it all week, and he really almost blew it for him. Speaking of Al Michaels, real quick, very weird to hear him, see him doing a game during the day, right? It threw me off. I couldn't get used to it.
Off. I didn't feel like he rose to the occasion on a couple of those things.
Yeah, I know.
Because Nance was having an orgasm during the Chiefs-Bills game.
Oh, he went
like,
nuts.
He was like at another level. Al had that vibe of like, I've called the miracle on ice. I've seen, you know, I've been in a lot of great moments. You're really going to have to impress me. But even the Braden Evans thing, I felt like the octave should have gone way up on that.
Maybe. Yeah, just as a viewer, I couldn't, it didn't make sense with him during the day. It was like seeing Prince wear green. Like, what's going on here? But Collinsworth was great with Scotty Miller. His new infatuation with Scotty. Oh, this Scotty Miller. You would have thought he had Cooper Kupp's numbers this year. Yeah, Scotty Miller is the best player on the field.
Well, I think him and Romo did a really nice job of big picture kind of hitting some of the themes. Because Romo was going hard on the legacy stuff in the fourth quarter, and it was justified because he's like, look, this Allen Mahomes thing is now like a championship belt situation. And whoever comes out of this, they're going to have the championship belt. And Romo could see it. And with Collinsworth, you could see that he was on the Rams thing early, like, oh my God, what a collapse this would be. Mm-hmm. And the Bucs weren't even playing well. It didn't even seem realistic. It was the weirdest. I didn't even think the fans were that into it till it was like 27-20.
Yeah.
So, like, even the fans were like, prove to us we should stand up.
This is what I'm telling you. It wasn't a great game. We had all good, great endings, but that one for a while was bugging me. Yeah, Romo, I was thinking about him and Dak and last week watching him collapse and must be like, oh, I wish I were on the field and everything. But today I got the feeling like he's like, I get to see Mahomes versus Allen for maybe the next decade and I get to call that game. Like, who has it better than me?
Well, the other thing, I was thinking about it because I was reading Dr. Z's old football book, which the new Thinking Man Guide to Football. And the first chapter is about how violent football is. And it's all these stories about Conrad Dobler and what happens in the pile and just what a vicious game football is. And over the last 12 years, they've really taken that out for the most part, right? And that's the biggest thing that's changed. And I think that's the biggest reason the ratings have gone back up. And, you know, I think the ratings for that Chiefs-Bills game will probably be the highest of any non-Super Bowl of the last 15 years or whatever.
You would think so, yeah.
But it's because they've been able to remove a lot of the violence. They protected the quarterbacks. They've figured out how to have more offense. And that Allen Mahomes game is representative of whatever era we're in now, where it's just like, if you have the right quarterback, it's actually almost impossible to stop that guy. And you could feel like even with that Rams-Bucks game, when the Bucs really need a score, all of a sudden they can move the ball down the field. And it just feels like that's what the air is. And like, nobody's out of a game. It's 27-3. You're not out of it. 27-6, 27-13. Like, you can't feel safe ever.
And you got superstars like Evans and Gronk and all these guys and Brady getting the ball to them and Fournette all of a sudden running hard in the second half. And, you know, you brought up ratings and good games to watch. And I think they said on the CBS telecast that the Bengals 49ers was the highest rated Super Bowl of all time, the 81 game. Is that possible? The highest rated Super Bowl? Like Kenny Anderson? Joe Montana wasn't really Joe Montana yet?
I think it makes sense from... We don't have cable yet, right?
It's three
but we
channels.
Have more people. Yeah. So it's probably like the last year before cable started eating into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Be my guess.
I guess so. Yeah. Cause you had, the Bears were an exciting team, but you're right. Cable's probably there in 85.
Probably Gronk's last game.
Oh, I didn't even think about
thought,
that.
I thought he looked pretty creaky.
Yeah.
I would hate to see him have like the show of himself last year, next year. A couple other things. Two of our last three football games are now in Los Angeles. How weird is that?
I was thinking
we lived here for how many years? We never had a team, and now it's like the epicenter.
Yeah, okay, but the Niners could have more fans.
Right. Well, they're already putting in the stuff where you can't sell the tickets to outside of 100 miles and all this stuff.
Did you see Andrew Whitworth's wife went on Twitter and said, if you're planning on selling your tickets to 49ers fans, please don't do it. I will buy them from you. Like, they're really...
Oh my God.
That'll be disgusting if they're 49ers contingent there.
Yeah, but you know what? They deserve it because they did these huge seat licenses for people that have season tickets. And this could pay for your season tickets. And most of the people who have season tickets don't even really care about the Rams. It's like they bought a cap a year ago. All right. Silver linings for the Rams, which is a weird thing to say because they won the game, but that was somehow kind of a
terrible... They're in the NFC championship. That's a silver lining.
There's one silver lining. But you're going in and it's like you barely hung on. You almost fell apart. You almost pulled 2017 Falcons. So silver linings other than the championship game. Stafford came through. Fucking amazing throw to Cooper Kupp. Hits him in stride. That was great. I mean, we didn't fully know that. Now the Lions fans will say, no, he used to do that. When we beat the Bears in November and we brought our record to 4-11 and Stafford made a great, it's like, no. This was like a real pressure throw that he had to make or we were going to overtime and he fucking nailed it.
He has, and not only that, so now he has more wins with the Rams, playoff wins, than he did with the Lions his whole career, which is sad. But also, remember the first play of that drive? They blasted him, and he had the wherewithal to keep the ball, and I think it was like a 3-yard loss.
Oh, yeah,
it was like
right.
35 seconds left, and I'm almost thinking, oh, God, take a knee. Take your chances in overtime. What the hell's going on here? You're going to turn this up. They're out for blood, this Bucs defense. But, yeah, Kupp
well, the
Kupp
next play,
wide open.
Before that Kupp 50-yarder, the Kupp had that play where he just broke the guy's ankles and got open for like 14, and he was great.
Right,
and he did fumble early
sideline.
In the game.
Yeah,
that was a great Kupp game for him other than the fumble.
It just, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, wow, they're going to blow this game, the Rams, and it's not going to be Stafford or the ref's fault. How is this possible? But they came through.
Well, Hockley, who everybody was terrified of, including myself, Sean Hockley, he threw out a couple unsportsmanlike early, but he had that one where when it seemed like it was a helmet hit on Mike Evans near the end zone, and they review it. And they decide the helmet came after the ball hit the ground. So Hockley does the announcement. And he does it like he's like hosting a game show. He's like, there was a helmet play. However, it does it like this dramatic however.
Right,
like,
you're
the fucking referee. What are you, Pat Sajak?
He's Seacresting it. Yeah.
Oh, he's fucking terrible.
You're American Idol when we come back. Yeah, I've never seen that play before.
They should have done that. We should have thrown it to break. However, we'll tell you what happens next.
But that ball, you haven't seen that before, right? They usually let the play, like it was helmet to helmet on Evans, but I know the ball had bounced and he wasn't catching and it was incomplete on fourth down. I guess we don't see it on fourth down a lot was the problem. But it's not like he helmet to helmet another guy. It was Evans. It was the guy who's supposed to catch the ball.
Yeah, they say the play's dead as soon as the ball hits the ground. But it feels like the play's still going if the guy's getting hit by somebody helmet to helmet who's already in mid-collision right before the ball. Like, how is
maybe
the play
Evans
not still
drops
going
the
there?
Ball because he's like, oh, this maniac's coming at my helmet. Maybe I can't catch this.
I tweeted this. There were three stupid rules things. That was one. where it's like, it's a helmet-to-helmet, but it doesn't count because the play was whistled dead. We had that ridiculous Tennessee interception where he caught it as the ball hit the grass. And they're like, well, he had control as it hit the grass. It's like, well, that hit the grass. How is that not an incompletion?
The nose of the ball is skidding across the grass for like a two Mississippi count. Like, what is
so that's somehow a catch. But then we have over and over again every weekend, the two steps, football move. Oh, he didn't totally finish his football move. Mm-hmm. It's an incomplete. We're just all over the place, so we got to figure this out.
Well, it did look like we went back. We reverted back to just arguing about what is a catch and what's not a catch, opposed to all the other atrocious calls the refs make combined. But so that was fun.
More silver linings for the Rams. Home game, as you said, although we'll see how many home fans. They can talk themselves into the, we took our foot off the gas. That was our fault. We were killing them. We let up.
I got to say, at halftime of that Bucs game, I was like, I'm picking this Rams team to win the Super Bowl. I don't care what happens in the night game.
I got a few texts about that. Yeah.
They look great. Last week, Monday night against Arizona, they look so complete. I'm like, they're going to have two great, flawless games in a row. And then the fumbles came and the turnovers and everything.
Well, that's another silver lining. The pass rush. Von Miller, they've rejuvenated because they made that trade. I thought he was past his prime. I didn't even think he looked good the first couple of Rams games. But with him and Floyd and Donald, man, they were all over that game. And Brady, that I felt like it was a compilation of a couple different terrible Brady Pats playoff games that we can remember. Probably most notably the first time they lost to the Broncos in Manning, which I think was like January 2014. But it was like, just you could feel it right away. He wasn't on. He didn't have the weapons. They were hitting him.
Yeah, throwing it at the feet, throwing it at everybody's feet. You know, he and
bad
Gronk
body language, him staring down at guys an extra second. It didn't feel right. So the pass rush looked awesome for them. And most important is the Falcons kept their title for worst playoff collapse of all time.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, you know, they were worried, like the Atlanta fans, because, you know, they had the Braves. They won a title. University of Georgia won a title. So now they can laugh about the Falcons things a little bit. But
do they toast? I know Julio Jones is on the Titans now, but do they toast like the Dolphins of 72 when they keep it intact?
They were really worried when it was 27.
Dan Quinn.
27.
Yeah.
So how did you leave that game feeling about the Rams?
Like I said, that after the half, I was like, no one's beating this.
No,
team.
But I'm just saying after the game.
I still like them. I still like them. I hate that we have to see round three of this 49ers because the 49ers, they might just have their number. And we've seen teams who are kind of full of shit go pretty far. New York Giants, Eli Manning. But, you know, so that could be. I have to think about that game a little more, but I'm
hold that right thought because we're going to them right now after the break. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. All right, you said it right before we went to break. This Niners team, very reminiscent reminiscent of those garbage Eli Giants teams that brought me so much misery. With the quarterback that every third pass seems like it's a pick. Every fifth pass seems like it's a pick six. The picks are never caught. Then when you think they're driving, then that's when he'll throw the one pick. Good pass rush, good overall, good special teams, resilient, hang around, good cold weather team that could play in a dome. Some football players like John Madden would have loved Debo Samuel, not to do the mad important thing that all the announcers are doing, but like Debo Samuel, it's like a John Madden player, Fred Warner, all these guys, George Kittle. And it's just very Giants-y. I was texting with two Giants fan buddies of mine during that game.
Kittle's,
like,
Kittle's Bavaro.
I was like, how Giants-y is this Niners team? Like, stop it. Jimmy G's hot garbage. It was like, eh.
But
and
that's
he did
the
make
thing.
A couple
it's
of
like,
big plays.
What did the Giants say? You said the pass rush, right? The 49ers are reminiscent. They can rush three or rush four. They really don't have to blitz. And you can get to the quarterback every time. And Rodgers was just a little one step off. I don't know where you want to start with Rodgers, but it was,
let's do it.
Like
let's
said,
go. Go ahead. Give me your Rodgers.
Well, I, like I said, they score. They sack Jimmy G on their first possession. I was like, this is over. It's gone. It's like, what were the odds they don't score 7 points is all they had to score the rest of the way. And you could blame the special teams, which are miserable, 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 yep. Right? The block punt. By the way, that block punt, the Packers had just as good a chance of picking that ball up and running. Nobody knew where that block punt went. People are looking around, spinning around in circles, searching for that block
punt. Also, the guy picked it up. 99 times out of 100, the guy goes to pick it up, botches it, and then he gets possession, loses it, and then the other team gets it back.
If he's tackled at the three, I'm not sure they score if he's tackled at the three. Yeah. Right? That's just how it was going. But Aaron Rodgers he just needed to make one big play. Like, I get that that's his whole thing, like pretending to be bored, or maybe he is bored with the game. And I know it was freezing, but he's basically walking up to the line of scrimmage with his hands in the hand warmer and just taking him out before the snap. Just seemed bored with the game. And like, you know, in a positive way, he's throwing the ball wherever he wants. Like, Devontae Adams has to make a big play every now and then. But otherwise, the ball is spot on. It's right where he wants to be. Aaron Jones is running the ball. Even when Dylan went out, Aaron Jones is like, they just can't turn the threes into seven. That play to Aaron Jones where he throws right before the half after Jimmy G gets picked, they just needed one more of those. They needed to score there, and he was kind of underthrown a little bit. They needed just one more of those, and he never got it for him. And you could blame, like I said, the special teams, and that coach will be fired if he hasn't been already by the time this podcast posts. But that's on you, Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I know you're the MVP and everything else, and you can complain. You could say you want to leave. And I actually do think he's going to leave, and I think the Packers should let him go.
I agree with everything. The special teams was awful all year. Schrager and I talked about it on Thursday. It was one of the reasons I took the Niners, because it was like, you just have to figure it's between 3 and 10 points for the Niners from special teams, because that's how bad. The Packers were the first team ever to be 32nd in DVOA and be a one seed. It like never happened before for special teams, right? That's how bad they were. They were worse than the Texans, the Jets, you name it. So the special teams coming back to haunt them wasn't surprising. What was surprising is Rodgers scoring 3 points after the first, 6 minutes of the game. They get the ball twice. Two drives he has in the last 7-8 minutes. Yeah. One of them that led to the punt that got blocked. Then they got the ball back. He fucked that one up too. And then the Niners come down and score. And there was some good stuff on social media and on the internets yesterday about just him forcing it to Adams.
Yeah. Where the three other guys.
As the game
open.
Goes along. Yeah. And he's just like, I got to get it to Adams. Remember that moment Josh Norman came in? There was somebody hurt on the Niners. Norman comes in. I'm watching on the TV and Adams is on the top of the TV, 2nd and 8. Mm-hmm. And Norman's on him. And Aikman's like, oh, he's going to go after Josh Norman. It's one-on-one coverage. This is a dangerous moment for... And then he beats him and Rodgers missed him.
Yeah.
Remember, he tried to throw it. And then the next play, missed him again and they're punting. And he just like, he never got the other guys involved. I thought he played a bad game.
Like, I did
just
too.
Period. He was bad.
That's it. And we're going to hear about how they're not... You know, surrounding him with the players.
No, fuck that. Their players are good. They have one of the three best receivers in the world. And that running back is one of the best 5 or 6 running backs, I think. Don't you?
I got to tell you. Yes, I agree. And as someone, one of the very few who thought he would stay with Green Bay versus going to Denver or whatever everyone else thought he did this, I think he leaves. And I think they should let him go. I feel like the Packers at this point are like Van Halen, where they're like, all right, we know David Lee Roth's great. He's the best.
But what a pain in the ass.
I'm a pain in the ass. Soon enough, one of these women is going to sue him backstage. And so we could go. I think there's a Sammy Hagar out there for us. Plus, they play in the NFC North, right? That whole division is going through a rebuilding time. You know,
yeah.
The Vikings struggle to get 8 or 9 wins no matter what, right? They're going to have a new coach. The Bears are the Bears. The Lions don't look ready. Like, take your chance with someone. Maybe it's not Jordan Love, but let Aaron Rodgers go. Too much trouble. Way more trouble than he's worth at this point.
Well, there's another piece to this. I mean, obviously, he went from the start. A year ago, he's State Farm ads. He's one of the most famous QBs. He's about to host Jeopardy, all that stuff. And I think his Q rating was pretty high. And then all the stuff that happened over the last years, some of the interviews he gave. He drops 2 interviews yesterday. before the game. One was like this 28-minute conversation he had with Kevin Van Valkenburgh of ESPN, and has a whole bunch of quotes in there about, you know, very on the Kyrie side of trying to provoke people and trying to pretend he doesn't care what people think. And then the next quote's about how much he cares what people think. And obviously he does care, but he's just a very strange guy. I think he's handled the last year really weird, from like floating stuff out that he was going to be the Jeopardy host to leaking the night of the draft, like hijacking the draft about how he wants out. And then nobody seems to understand why he's mad. It's like, why are you mad? This team goes 12-4, 12-5. You're a one seed or a two seed every year. What are you mad about? Your team's good. How about this? Elevate the team.
Right.
And from what we saw this weekend, Allen and Mahomes are at a whole other level for him. But I just think he's, I've been calling him Diva Rogers all year, not to sound like a local sports talk host, but he's just a huge diva. This is interesting. I have a fact for you.
Yeah.
One of my college roommates, my buddy Chip Kane, who I've known since 1988, he's from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about him a few times. He's been in the column. Huge Packer fan. I always ask him sometimes for the pulse of, you know, Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And he was like, if he goes, we're fine. Like, we have Giannis. Good luck.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's like a Giannis state now. I mean, Giannis is the guy in Wisconsin. And you would think, football is more popular than basketball. It's like, most of the people like feel like Rodgers has been a diva, that he doesn't want to be there. He's been weird and honestly hasn't come through in 12 years. Whereas Giannis wants to be there, sign an extension. He's one of the best players in the league. So they're like, cool, leave Rodgers. We're good.
Giannis can't quarterback this team. I was with you until you said that. That's stupid. That's just stupid. Are we sure? Chip, but come on. No, we're not
Wait,
sure.
Wait, are we positive? You 7-foot quarterback? Who knows?
Well, here's the thing. Last year, maybe, like, I mean, it was different. The fans just look at him differently. They lost to Tampa Bay, right? They kicked the field goal when they maybe should have gone for it on 4th and 5. So then you have that hanging over. Oh, was it the coach? Was it this? This year, I think a lot of the fans are blaming Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at since 2012, the last decade, it's like losing divisional round, losing divisional round, losing conference championship. Like, all right, we can get someone who can maybe do this in this crap division and, you know, crappy-ish conference. I think they could take a chance and let him go.
Yeah. Lost to Eli, lost to Kaepernick twice, Carson Palmer, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Jimmy G twice. That's since he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's 7-9 in playoff games since he won the Super Bowl. He's lost some home games. I mean, this was, all they had to do was score 17 points. They beat the Niners, right?
Just 17.
That game. Can the Packers score 14, whatever.
Yeah.
Can you get a touchdown and 2 field goals? You win the game.
Right.
The other team's not going to score an offensive touchdown.
Oh my God.
And by really the way, Aaron Jones money. Healthy, Devontae Adams healthy. Randall Cobb, this guy is like, we got to get Randall Cobb. Like, did he catch a ball yesterday?
No, I know. It was a disaster.
And then the other thing was all of social media. It was a dunking that was pretty much unparalleled for a football player over the weekend.
Yeah,
the vax stuff. So he's moved
you,
in.
You it's commented like half the people are out. For a player that hadn't committed a crime, he was pretty well hated. Like, we were trying to come up with anybody.
It's pretty hard, for somebody not to have committed some sort of crime to get this kind of vitriol.
Yeah.
It's weird. I think he goes to Denver would be my guess, but I don't think San Francisco, it's another San Francisco can't be ruled out situation because they have the cap space. They could either trade
where he's from.
Trey Lance, some other picks, but if I'm the Niners, I have this great chemistry and this tough team. Like, do I want to bring the Diva Aaron Rodgers into that? I would be nervous.
What if the Packers promised to never let A-Rod in the other A-Rod in the stadium in Lambeau Field? I mean, did you see the cutaway to A-Rod?
Smoking hot blonde. I absolutely saw it. I didn't know why he was there. I didn't understand it.
Everything went south right after that cutaway. But first of all, why is he not in a suite? I think that's definitely a girlfriend thing, right? That's like, no, I'm a diehard Packers fan. He's like, okay, yo, you know what? I'll call the owner. I'm like, no, we can't be in a suite. We got to be there with the local. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, really?
Hey, Rod, try these cheese curds. You'll love them. Yeah, he's like, what's going on? Where's the suite?
I can't breathe. And that was it. It was all negative after that.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to figure out a way to be diplomatic about this Rodgers thing, but I just think he's handled the last 12 months just absolutely abysmally.
Yep.
I don't understand it. Everything he's done I don't get. And when you think like the last couple years, all the cap stuff they did, where it was basically like they had to win last year or this year. Now they're them and the Saints are in the worst cap situation of anyone in the league. It's going to be really hard for them to compete anyway. So he probably does have to leave.
Listen,
so,
I'm telling you, it's Van Halen. They have some hits. They have some hits in them. What did Van Hagar have? What'd they have? They had Love Comes Marching In.
It's Van Halen, except Giannis is Sammy Hagar.
So now you're confusing it. But good. All right.
So Jimmy G, he saves his job. He throws zero TDs. He had the most.
Fuck the Packers, he said. Really?
Does fuck the Packers on social media. Gives like a super confident, happy interview after. He did make a couple big throws, but it's funny that his demeanor is very confident for somebody that you watch and you just assume every pass is going to get picked.
Right.
I don't get it. I've never, other than Eli, I can't remember another quarterback like this, which makes me wonder, is he the new Eli? Have we just replaced Eli?
I'm very impressed with that defense. It might be. And I'm telling you, that's the parallel too. Armstead's on every play. Bosa's phenomenal. If he's not tugging on Rodgers' shoulder, he's right there, you know, with the pressures. They're really good.
Well, they won 3 straight road wins. Mm-hmm. They have to now make it 4 in a row. They did that 3rd-and-7 handoff to Debo.
That was great.
That had to get them in field goal range, and it seemed like they had to throw, and it had all the makings. They're in that weird area, which I always think of like the Brett Favre Viking zone between the 40 and like 35, where...
Yeah, like do they attempt a field goal from the 38?
Yeah, it's too far in cold weather, but too far to run it, and you're going to have to throw it. And I'm thinking like, man, he's going to throw a pick. Because I had the Niners. I have them at 17-1 to win the NFC, so I was like really rooting for them. And I'm like, oh my God, Jimmy G is throwing the pick. Yeah. And they do that sneaky handoff to Debo. And yet again, he made like an incredible football play. I mean, that guy saved their season.
It's phenomenal. And he came out a couple 2 weeks plays. In a row. Like, oh, that's it. If he's out, forget it. This team, who even wants to see them next week? I will say this. They're playing the Rams, obviously. And to add to your Eli thing, like, the Rams could have put them away 2 weeks ago. They were up by 7. It was 1:48 left in the game. And
their punter,
Robbie Gould is punting from the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the, like, they, so can't you see, like, oh, the 49ers beat the Rams? Like, oh, the Rams, like, so many what ifs along the way.
But this is why we love it so much, because we might have a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
of the 49ers versus the Chiefs. You have the Chiefs who their season should have been over with 13 seconds left. You have the 49ers whose season shouldn't have even made the playoffs if the Rams just put their foot on their neck one more time. And that honestly could be our Super Bowl, because I'm with you.
It would be a rematch from 2 years ago.
I think this 49ers team is really good, and I don't think they necessarily need Jimmy to win. I think they can run. They're in all phases. And that Shanahan piece worries me a little, because he can get a little hero bolly.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy G's, you know, he's going to throw the pick next weekend. We know
it's amazing.
Factoring in.
I love football, but I do still need that $83,000 loan.
let's guess the line for Niners Rams.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we sent each other. Well, go ahead.
We'll do the AFC. So I said Rams by 3 at home against the Niners. And I really think, I haven't seen it yet. I really think that's what it should be. I don't think it should be 3.5.
I know you think. I mean, that's why we guess. Like, yeah, I think it should be 3.5, and it was 3.5. So I get that. I'm ahead of you.
It was 3.5?
It was by the time we did the thing. Why? Oh, did you cheat and look or something?
No, I'm just surprised. Yeah, it's 3.5.
3.5, yeah.
3.5.
Well, now you're going to see the other one. Now you could change yours.
No,
you just went to FanDuel and looked at both lines.
I sent it to you. Well, now I know what the other one is, but...
All right.
Wow, 3.5. Why do you think? Why do you think it's not 3? Because of Jimmy G? There's not home field advantage for the Rams. It's going to be like half Niners fans.
I forgot. Right. But so the Packers were 4.5 and went to 5.5. And you got to give them 3.
No, not,
I don't know.
We said during the year that it's that 3 moved to 2. It's now 2 points for home field.
Well, is it because
3.
They just get beat? Like, it has to happen. Eventually, the Rams have to beat this team.
I think the Niners are better. And I'm excited to ride them next week.
Wow. All right.
I think that line ends up at 3, though. I don't think it ends up at 3.5.
It's a good game.
Let's take one more break. We'll talk Titans, Bengals, and we'll guess the AFC line. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at Simply Safe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. Simply Safe, great, because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try Simply Safe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. That's simplysafe.com with two I's, simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. That's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator also helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals like job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are more likely to convert, and even in some cases, most likely to convert. Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date data fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter right now. You can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Start your 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. All right, Titans Bengals. Ryan Tannehill cost me a perfect weekend. I had a lot of bets tied to him in real life that tied to the money line and the adjusted line that I then had to chase with the other three games that somehow worked out. That never works out. But
I feel like this game was 3 weeks ago. I'm like looking through my notes on this. Really, I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, that did happen. Yeah.
It really does feel that way. So I don't feel bad about taking the Titans in this game because they start the game with a pick. They throw two other picks. They do just a variety of idiotic things. It was Mike Vrabel, who I thought was the coach of the year. I thought that was just a horribly coached game all over the place, culminating in 3rd and 1. They put Tannehill in shotgun, and we do some shotgun option sweep play where he just gets sacked for 3 yards, 2 yards, whatever. And then they go 4th down, and Henry gets stopped, and all of a sudden, the Titans don't have the ball anymore. And it's like,
that was
third,
it.
It's 3rd and 1, and you have Derrick Henry, and you're going to be able to run for a yard if you just spread the receivers out. So they fuck that up. And then all of a sudden the Bengals are in McPherson, who's like the new Tucker. Yeah. And you're like, wow, if they just get to the 40, he's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Chase gets open. All of a sudden the Bengals win. The Bengals reminded me of like those poker players that they're never in on a hand for an hour. They just wait for everyone to fuck up, and then they go in and they win chips, and then you don't see them again. They just were like basically trying not to fuck up, and they won.
Yeah. I think they're more like Van Halen. No. Well, the big things are the 9 sacks. I mean, that tied a playoff record, right? I think like Len Dawson was sacked like 9 times, but probably.
But it was 9 sacks, but then there were 2 other sacks that they called off because it was a delay of game.
Delay
but it was
game.
Like nobody knew it was a delay of game because you're near the whistle.
It's insanity.
Really 11 sacks.
I was joking, like they're going to have more sacks than points in this game. But then none of that would have mattered. Like the 3 interceptions wouldn't have mattered if, like you say, they convert that 3rd and 1. And I don't even have a problem with Tannehill doing a quarterback sneak there. Or handing off.
Not in the shotgun.
No, but or handing off to Henry. The shotgun is crazy, too. Shotgun on third. Why does everyone have to go? Well, everything's shotgun now all of a sudden. But on that 3rd and 1, it's a shotgun. How about when the Titans run it all the way down the throat? They have first down at the 8-yard line. It's first and goal. And Tannehill's like in a shotgun. I think it's empty backfield. Like your backup running back just went for 45 yards. What right. the hell are you doing?
Deontay Foreman couldn't be stopped. Yeah. This goes back to the Coach Hero Ball thing. These guys are like, it's 3rd and 1. What should we do?
Right.
Wait. This is a great. Remember that when we were having drinks and I told you about that idea I had about shotgun and Tannehill and
right.
This is the time we should run it. We're like, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And yet, like you said, they got lucky with the interception too. Like they that wasn't Burrow's fault.
I had so much money in the Titans, and even I was like, that interception's ridiculous. I can't believe that counts. The ball hits the grass, and who'd they go to? Mike Pereira or whoever it was, and it was like, well, the ball hit the grass.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say he established possession in the 1/1000th of a second before it totally hit the grass, but
there's a still picture of he has two hands on the ball and it's like 1.5 inches above the grass. But it's not the instant it touches your hands, right? You have to control, like first of all, I end up thinking about Dez and the catch, and I was like, so much more of a catch than this bullshit that we just saw. But anyway, I know you had the Titans, but
it was.
I mean, I'll tell you this:
3rd and 1. I was glad I had the Titans. When you think like all the dumb shit that happened to them in that game, and I felt like we called the game correctly, or that you had the Bengals, but me and Schrager, we were like, I don't think they can block the Titans, and I think the Titans are going to be able to move the ball.
I don't know if you called -4. I don't know if you called the game correctly. When were they covering -3.5?
Well, I think they could have. No, well, I felt like. I just feel in the playoffs, you got to pick the team you think's going to win. I don't worry about the spread as much because that usually is what cover. But listen, the bottom line is I have 3 different playoff manifesto rules about look at the quarterbacks, more of the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And Tannehill, that's it. He's on the do not bet list from this point forward for playoffs. I'm never betting on him again. Are you?
I'm going to try not to. I think they move on from him. That's the other thing. Like Tennessee set. Yeah. So 2 playoff teams are moving on, I believe, from their quarterbacks, at least Tannehill. And I would think
Rodgers and Jimmy G
Super Bowl. Right, I guess so. Yeah. We don't. It's so funny. We're all over the map with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan.
No, he has to win the Super Bowl to stay. And even if he wins the Super Bowl, they might be like, can we do better?
Insanity if they bring Aaron Rodgers in there. But Zach Taylor out, Coach Vrabel. Like, that's
totally.
You didn't think that would happen. And it did.
They made no mistakes except for the interception that hit the grass first. It was somehow called an interception.
Yeah.
I was thinking with Tannehill, I was thinking when quarterbacks hit that point, and the example I always go to is DeLome, which I think I had the other team, the game when he had the 5 picks with the pick 6, which I called, that's in a DeLome.
The DeLome,
you
do that
to the 5 picks. But like, I was thinking about DeLome Penitentiary when a QB let you down like Tannehill does. That's it. You're getting sent off to DeLome Gambling Penitentiary. There's no parole. That's it. You're going to spend the rest of your life in a cell. I'm not betting on you ever again. You're gone.
That's it.
You're in DeLome Penitentiary.
Mandatory sentence. That's what it is.
So
3 interceptions at home in front of the crowd. We're a 1 seed.
Yeah, and you're apologizing in the press conference. You're out. I'm sending you to DeLome Penitentiary, and there's no parole board.
I don't mind.
We're done. We're out. Tua's already there, even though he's never been in a playoff game. But I have a few QBs that I think are on one of the wings at DeLome Penitentiary. But yeah, Tannehill, I should have known because we've seen him do this. But fresh in my mind was when he fucked me on that Thursday night Niners game when he came back against the Niners.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, oh way. Tannehill, yeah. Wow, maybe Tannehill, and it's like no. No,
it was back to 2012. Oh, and it was all on a silver platter for him, right? With Derrick Henry's coming back, and you don't think Tannehill has to do much to win this game. And especially when your defense has 9 sacks.
We were texting during the second half. Henry looked good in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
By the fourth quarter, he looked like Gronk did in that Bucks game. Like he looked like he was running on the fumes of he was like a car trying to get to the gas station with like the wobbly tire. And Foreman was like right there. Every time they put Foreman in, like it was super exciting.
Yeah.
And they just were like, fuck it. Derek's our guy. Meanwhile, he's got a plate and 5 screws in his. And then the other thing, they have this AJ Brown who's unstoppable, who had a good game, but you know, how about him in reverses? How about bubble screens with him. Like, why aren't they doing like the Debo or what the Dallas should have done with CeeDee Lamb last week? Like, just get him touches, get him touches, get him the ball. And it was like
they were originally throwing it to him. Vrabel. It really was the worst coach game. And they lost to the Jets and Texans. And this was worse.
I know you got mad at me because I was like, I thought that this was the smartest kind of close game team of the year. And you were like, well, they lost the Texans
and
Jets.
Well, I don't mean to take it out on you. Just know it's residual bullets I have in the chamber that I throw at Clay Travis, who loves the Titans. And I just have to make him feel bad about them.
They were, though, that they were the team that they made the other team beat themselves all year. And when, you know, they played three bad games, the Texans, the Jets, and the Pats, when they fumbled all those times against the Pats. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they always won games like this. So when they were coming down and it seemed like it was either going to be 19-16 or 23-16, but they were winning. Oh, we forgot to mention, he goes for two when it's 6-6.
In the one. Yeah, right.
Right. It's like, oh, we're on the 1 yard line. We're going to get two.
Right. They got the offside, so they moved it closer. I have a number for that. 62% from the 1 yard line, 49% from the two. But you don't need it. You just need the one, right? At that point.
So I default to my position on this stuff. I actually didn't mind when they went for it. I just hated the play. They took the tight end on the left. He went in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Left the guy that he was supposed to block just by himself. Slow developing handoff to Henry. Guess who comes in and tackles Henry? The guy who's unblocked because your tight end was in motion on the other side.
Yep.
It's a stupid play. It was never going to work. They had nine guys on the line.
Yeah, so they didn't have a lot of luck with that. I mean, it just to me, the third and one, not even fourth and one, third and one was terrible. And the interception from the 8 yard line after they ran it all the way down there.
Do your Burrow Romo thing. I want America to hear this because this was an actual take from yesterday that I do.
Oh,
feel
you know,
deep
you're gonna make
your
fun of me?
No, I'm not gonna make fun of you. I actually, I agree with you. I think Burrow's more talented than Romo, but go ahead.
We talk about it. How dare you? We talk about it. I mean, the Parlay Kid, we're big Cowboys fan. Like, wow, this Burrow really reminds us of Romo. He gets his yards in chunks. He's like a smart player in spite of the offensive line. What else did I say in there? Like, he just doesn't seem
takes a ton of hits. Doesn't
takes
make
a ton
mistakes,
of hits. Right,
keeps
exactly.
coming.
Somehow keeps coming.
Never
at
changes
you.
His demeanor.
Just a brute. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah,
can well, move around. Can move
you
around.
You seem
the
to
pocket.
Be on board. Yeah, you agree. You agree.
I liked it. I think he's like a Romo 2.0. I think he's better than Romo, but I see. It's a good comparison.
Well, that wasn't part of it. The better than Romo wasn't part of it at all. But okay.
I think if you have one more kid, you'd name the kid Burrow. Whatever Burrow Iacono. Yeah.
Bobby Burrow Iacono. Yeah. Could do that.
I liked his I liked everything he did in that game because they were overmatched. They could not block the Titans. He never quit. He had a weird calmness to him that I think a team can sense as opposed
there
to
was
Aaron
one
Rodgers
bad
who seemed like
he
was
took.
Dead.
There was one sack he took that was on him. It was they were from the 35 on third down and he took a sack at the 39. He had a second to get rid of it. It's like, now you're
he got sacked like
range.
Midfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was further than 39. Yeah. But yeah, no, he's tremendous.
We know we call
really
that.
Great.
That's the Matt Ryan.
Is that what it is? The sack at a field goal range?
When you're in like the 33 and you take the sack that takes you to the
like
43.
That.
That's the Matt
See,
Ryan.
We got a lot. We got a Van Halen comparison, the Lone Penitentiary, the 13.
By the way, Matt Ryan's at the Lone Penitentiary right now. And he's like,
he's
wait,
there?
Wait, we have somebody new? Oh my God, it's Ryan Tannehill. Ryan, what's happening? You want to play chess tomorrow in the yard?
Does he have to stay there until September? I think that's a good idea.
Anyway, the Bengals somehow made the AFC Championship game. There's one person who believed in them. A person
who?
Near and dear to both of our hearts. A person who has captured America. He's as one of the most handsome gamblers in the world. Your friend Harry.
Oh, yeah. Harry likes him. Yeah.
He's been in on the Bengals. He's been in on the Bengals all year. Was saying before the playoffs, the Bengals are my team. They're going to win the
he
Super
does
Bowl.
Love the
and
Bengals.
It's like... It's like, is this a bit or is this a real thing? And now they're two games away.
I forgot about it. They have to lose. They have to lose. It's too much. Oh, I forgot they beat They beat the Chiefs, which is why the Chiefs didn't have the one seed. They came back. Oh, this is a good game. Do we do storylines for the Super Bowl matchups or do we do that next
week?
We're
going to, but let's guess the lines. For Chiefs-Bengals, it's in Kansas City. I said Chiefs by 7 and you said...
You get this. I said six. I thought that was high. It's actually seven.
So we split. So I'm up one on you
heading into the Super Bowl.
With the Super Bowl to go, unless you want to do Pro Bowl.
And there's no Pro Bowl? Oh, yeah. All right.
We did. Oh, my God. Who is not teasing the Chiefs this weekend?
I know. It's
basically like you tease the Chiefs with whoever you like in Rams Niners, right?
I mean, I'm going to use the he seems a year away, right, for the Bengals.
It's a massive win to get to the AFC title game. This is great. Mm-hmm. It is weird, though, that Madden died, and now we're...
Not that weird. Oh, yeah. It's 85. Yeah.
That Madden died, and now we're two wins away from Niners-Bengals Super Bowl. Wasn't that the first Madden Super Bowl?
Oh, was that his first one? Oh, yeah, you're right. Right? In 81. Yeah. What, the first one or the second one?
The first one, I think, was his first Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Montana one. I think that was his first one. And by the way, it's like the 40th anniversary of that Super Bowl.
26-21. Yeah, 40 years ago. And Collinsworth, that was Collinsworth's first year. I was looking at his stats. He never had, I think that was his best year. I think he had 67 receptions. Crazy, back then.
Kenny Anderson was just, he's such a tough guy. Oh my God. Took such a beating back then.
Pete Johnson was a bull back there. He can carry seven defenders at once.
I remember Kenny Anderson concussion. Kenny Anderson was out cold for two series, just taking snaps. He didn't know where he was.
You know, it's weird. We've turned Collinsworth into Joe Namath somehow. I know. Al, I want to kiss you. What? No, that's a different guy.
We have them for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, great. I'm excited.
Al, Chris, Michelle's last game.
It's not a day game, is it?
It's not a day game.
Do it at night?
All right, so you want to do most fun Super Bowl matchups. We'll take a break. We'll do most fun Super Bowl matchups, and we'll do Parent Corner. This episode is brought to you by Burger King, which has the greatest commercial song I think I've ever heard. The ultimate hunger hack has arrived, my friends. BK's Royal Crispy Wraps. Choose from four bold flavors, classic, spicy, honey mustard, and the new, drumroll please, fiery buffalo. Oh yeah, I'm getting that one. They're only just $2.99 each, because at BK, have it your way. You rule. Try Royal Crispy Wraps at Burger King. $2.99 each. Price and participation vary. U.S. only. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh, my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. Most fun Super Bowl matchups.
I mean, the league almost lost Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers in the same weekend. That would have been, I know Allen's great, but you know the league wants Mahomes in this game.
I would expect them to get some calls.
Mm-hmm.
KC Rams is pretty good, and we could have the whole Rams being, being home and oh my God, and but Stafford and from Detroit to here, and McVay and chance to redeem himself and
talk about great games. That was a phenomenal Monday night game, right? A couple of years ago. So you got that.
That's probably our highest upside one, but KC. Niners would be second, but we already had it.
Right. I'm trying to think if this Niners team is better than that. I don't think so. No, they weren't. They lost three games that year?
Yeah, something like that.
13-3? Better. Yeah.
Then I would have Cincy Rams. I'm biased. I really like watching this Niners team. They were like this old school football team like the kind of team we grew up with in the 80s and 90s,
listen,
right?
the more they win, the more I could say the Cowboys were the second best team in football. So, yeah, let them win the whole thing. What do I care?
I had that before round one, but I had my whole whoever wins this game makes the Super Bowl take, and you thought I was kidding, but I really did believe that.
For the Cowboys? Oh, yeah.
Dallas and the Niners.
We could have beat Tampa today. Shit. What a dumbass team I root for.
You know, I had I was in the house and NFL Network was on and they were showing the game, the Cowboys game. Mm-hmm. The fact that the fake punt worked, I felt like we didn't make enough of it
because
the Cowboys ended up losing. But like, it was the most obvious fake punt situation probably in the last 5 years. And the Niners guys running backwards has no idea they're going to fake punt. That could have been a disaster. Yeah, it's... I don't know which of these teams is the most flimsy because the Chiefs, like, it just seems like you can move the ball and there's... I think maybe Honey Badger comes back next week. Who knows? But it just seems like you can throw on them. The Rams can't run the ball to save their lives. So even if they have a lead, we've seen over and over again, they've almost blown these leads because they can't run the ball.
Right.
The Niners, Jimmy G is a heart attack. And then Cincy easily could have lost to the Raiders or the Titans. And now they're in the AFC title game. So this is weird.
Yeah, I guess Rams, Bengals, I'm trying to figure out what the hook is there. No, that's the only one that's kind of weird to me.
So
Rams, Bengals,
Chiefs, Niners.
Zach Taylor was a McVay guy. Yeah, he was on the staff.
We have three McVay guys left. Yeah.
Right.
Chiefs Niners money is plus 252.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I had a friend, my friend Chris Williams. He had an underdog parlay this weekend with all four underdogs, 30 to 1. And was like, do I hedge? What do I do? And I told him, like, take the alternate Chiefs line plus 3.5.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 3-point line. I don't know if he did it or not, but.
Sell it to PropSwap. Put it on PropSwap. They probably could have gotten. Did he do it? You don't know if he did it. Is he still your friend?
I think he just hedged and took some stuff.
All right, but that's good because that's a terrible way to lose.
Yeah, that would have been bad. 13 seconds left. You're probably celebrating that one.
He could have gotten 16-1 odds through FanDuel on the Chiefs with 13 seconds left. God,
I can't decide if that's too high or too low. 16-1. Like you could have told me it was 100-1 and I would have believed it.
Because they had to gain how many yards?
Well, they're on the 25-yard line. They had to gain 50 yards.
Did that happen?
That was what happened.
Oh.
Yeah, they gained 50. Al, you can't give up 50 yards in 12 seconds. Listen,
I know it's not the same game, but did I tell you how much I love Scotty Miller? Let's forget the Chiefs and Bills for a second.
I remember Kenny Anderson. We were down 10 seconds left. Kenny couldn't see because he had a major concussion, but he threw a 90-yard pass. All right, so it's looking like Chiefs are the early game.
Yep.
Everyone is going to have a Chiefs-Rams parlay. Which
money
would be,
line? Yeah,
Chiefs Rams money line parlay would be basically even odds. And that I think helps my Niners thing. This is where we get to one of our favorite things. We don't get to do this very often. Mm-hmm. A little game show we like to call Should I Hedge?
I have this too, but not as much. I wasn't as confident as this as you were. 17-1, right?
I have the Niners at 17-1 for this game. And their actual money line is plus 150. The Rams are minus 180.
Right.
So one of the moves, they'll have, I don't know if they have the adjusted lines yet. Oh, they do.
They do?
So on FanDuel, and I would recommend people looking at the adjusted lines because they let you parlay them and there's some good stuff. I could do the Rams plus 3.5 for minus 270 and try to middle it. Take the 17-1, basically take everything I would make for the 17-1 and make it so the minus 270 and basically like I can't lose, but I have a chance to middle them if it's a 3-point game.
So I don't have to get into how much you have, but 2,700 wins you 1,000.
Well, let's say I have $100 on the 17-1.
We could lie and tell.
We'll say 100.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I would, let's say I'm going to win $1,700 if the Niners win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I could do Rams plus 3.5 for $1,700, which would win me like $600. Wait, oh no, I wouldn't do it for that much. I would do it for like $1,000.
Risking 1,000?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think how can I win money either way, right?
Oh, you're gonna lose. You're not.
Yeah,
close
I'm already confused.
Out.
Hey, listen,
you're messed up. Forget
if anyone
it. Just
can figure
just write
this
the
out.
Check. Just write the check. You're done.
So maybe take for half of what I would win with the Niners.
Yeah.
I put on the adjusted money line for the Rams and then try to middle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. I'll end up doing nothing.
You got that great Rams kicker to win by three. Yeah, you're set.
When Jimmy G throws those slow out passes to the D-back who's running up to hit the guy and doesn't realize he has a pick six, every time it's a heart attack. And I'm ready for more of them next weekend.
I love it. How about Kittle? Kittle just out of it and then makes that great catch. Like, either you're like, is he still on this team? Like, oh yeah, he made one of the greatest catches I've ever seen for a tight end. Balancing himself out of bounds and catching it somehow.
All right, so before we go to Parent Corner, just to recap the storylines that we had this weekend. It might have been Tom Brady's last game. It might have been Aaron Rodgers' last Packers game.
We're good with that.
We had three straight last second end of the game field goals, three walk-off field goals in a row, which had never happened before.
Yep.
We had Allen versus Mahomes for the championship belt. We had a Joe Burrow arrival. Joe Burrow's now here.
Mm-hmm.
We had this vindicated Stafford trade. We had the Rams avoiding 2017 Falcons infamy. And we had Buffalo going to the fucking abyss.
Yep. Yeah, that's a number one story. And Collinsworth Rogers, and Scotty Miller getting engaged.
And Collinsworth, Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
And I guess you could throw in Rodgers becoming a gigantic heel. I think he's now officially a heel. He's like,
he's
like when Roman Reigns finally embraced it and was like, fuck it, I'm going to be a bad guy.
I mean, we could read like my 20 favorite Twitter jokes about Aaron Rodgers, but we'll be here all night. Like, it was tremendous. You're right. There was never an onslaught like that on social media.
So who do you think feels the worst out of anyone this weekend? Buffalo fans first. Who feels the worst?
No
Sean
question.
McDermott? Not squib kicking?
Oh,
what do you think Sean McDermott? Yeah, who feels the worst right now? Bills fans won.
I mean, Bills, the Bills, whatever, gets the top four, right? Like Josh Allen,
is
feeling bad. Like Josh Allen shouldn't feel bad. He played the game of his life. But
Tannehill's got to feel bad.
Tannehill, for sure. I think he shares it with, I think he shares it with Vrabel, though. I really do. Well, and Rodgers isn't capable of feeling bad, but he should definitely be top three.
Vrabel can go visit him at the DeLone Penitentiary.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. The CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee lets you test drive a car for 24 hours, and that means you can really use it for a full day. How wonderful is that? See how well your phone and music connect to the car? You can do that. See if it's roomy enough for the kids, the pets, and all your gear. Sounds great. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, you're up, Sal.
Hey, have you ever seen a rugby game in person?
In college.
You did. Your college had rugby.
Like a club rugby. Yeah. They had like a club team.
Yeah. My son is on the high school rugby team, and this is after like a grueling football season. Like they played like 13 games or something crazy. I was like, just throw the javelin or something. Just don't, why are you messing your body up even more? He's like, nah, my buddies are playing rugby. I'm like, all right. And like, I finally got to see a game, and, well, they lost 61-5. So that's, let me just say that. But
61-5?
61-5 because
did they
if
cover?
You're bad, they did not cover. They were getting 49.5. But if you're bad, you don't, the team that scores, here's how it's different from football in many ways, but the team that scores gets the ball back. So you can go an hour without touching the ball at all. And if you have a team that's a brute, and these guys, and the other thing is, my son wears number 4. But it goes by position. So 6 other kids are wearing number 4. And they're all they're built like him, and they all have like green cleats, and they have like that skull cap that you wear that's like in place in lieu of a helmet. And it's a messed up game. It's really like you just like sit there and pray no one steps on your nose for an hour and a half until it's over. But
so he's wearing a mouthpiece, that's it?
He's wearing a mouthpiece. It's like a swim cap. It's not even a helmet. And you just don't want to take a knee to the face. Like it's a really crazy game. But I did enjoy it after, aside from the 61-5 drubbing. It is kind of fun to watch once you figure out what's going on. There you go. I'm just saying, catch a rugby game.
So your son is now a rugby player. Do girls like this?
Not that I could tell so far. I scanned the seats and there weren't too many watching. Rugby. It's not bad to get tackled because you kind of, the other team has to wait for you to pass the ball back. And then you could just make your way up the field. I don't know. It's like watching a war.
My son wants to play.
Football. Yeah, he should play. He'd love
it. What's going on with Jack Romo Iacono?
Big Steelers fan. I don't know.
What's he doing now that Big Ben's gone? How is he tormenting you? Your team's out. How does he torture you?
You're right. Well, now he's very, very much into like the USFL and Arena League and a lot of leagues that no one gives a shit about and constantly bringing it up and how Coachella Valley is starting to has an Arena League coming in there and minor league hockey. All these leagues that I don't care about, but I have to keep up with to make them happy.
My parent corner, you don't have girls.
No, thank you. That's it? That's your parent
corner? You have a great relationship with my daughter, as I've discussed many times. But 11th grade, it's been a little rocky for us.
Mm-hmm. Rocky it's 4 or?
Yeah. It's before Rocky 5.
Okay.
You know, she drives now. Not mm-hmm. home, that never wants to see us, all that stuff. But very short lately. But I never get mad at my daughter. And then finally, Wednesday night, we were trying to figure out, she had like soccer games for school the next 2 days and some other things and trying to talk to her about how to plan out her schedule. Mm-hmm. And she's not really listening to me and she's on her phone. And then finally I got mad and I was like, that's it. I'm not going to your game tomorrow. She's like, don't go. That's fine. It was like, wait, we had like a real fight. So it's interesting because my mom hasn't talked to me for 3 weeks because I made the joke that she gave all of us COVID 4 weeks ago. So my mom still refuses to talk to me. I don't even feel like I'm fighting with her, but she's, and then my kids hang out with her and she's like, yeah, I'm not talking to him anymore. So I'm like, I guess that's it. I'm just never talking to my mom again. So I had a 12-hour window Wednesday and Thursday where I wasn't talking to two of the three most important females in my life. Like, we're not talking to me. And I didn't go to her game
Michelle
on Thursday.
The other one's Michelle Tafoya? Oh, no, okay.
No, Michelle and I are still talking.
Okay, good.
So then we made up on Thursday, me and my daughter. And then mm-hmm. I took her to the game on Friday and we kind of rebuilt it, gave her some life advice on things. And I feel like we're okay, but I'm sure something else will happen next week.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, I was feuding with two of the three women in my life for 12 hours. My mom, we're now on, it's like the Iran hostage crisis. It's
you're still not talking to her.
Day 32, yeah. My mom, we're still not talking. Won't talk
Why don't
to
you
me.
Just say you were kidding around and everyone's got COVID this month? And
my mom didn't talk to her brother for 8 years.
That's pretty good.
It's like an actual thing that happened. Like you think you're like, well, you know, you're Italian.
Yeah,
you, like,
of course.
The Italians are like, they're fucking bonkers.
Nothing.
So my mom won't
sense.
Talk to me anymore. And it's all because she thought I insulted her mm-hmm. when I joked that she gave all of us COVID. She thought that was in very poor taste.
So what? How does like, this fix itself? I was like, your wife has to get involved now, right?
No, because I'm out. I'm like, all right, well, if my mom doesn't want to talk to me, so be it. What am I going to do? So it's like, I think we're both good with it. Maybe this is it. Maybe we're getting parent-kid divorced.
I wonder if she has a parent corner telling this very story somewhere on her podcast. It's interesting.
I don't know. I'm not even... can you be in a feud if you're not feuding? I don't know how that works.
I don't know. It's kind of what Aaron Rodgers has got going.
Like, I'm not mad at my mom. And if she called tomorrow, I'd be like, hey, how's it going? But she doesn't want to talk to me. Right. So what's the longest you've gone without talking to either of your parents?
My father, almost a year.
It's almost a year.
Yeah, yeah. We got into an argument at my kid's soccer game, Jack Romo soccer game.
I remember this.
He told me, he claims I told him the wrong field. And, you know, he never answers a cell phone, which 100% of these things are fixed. But we're okay now. It's good.
Wait, what's the common denominator?
It's crazy.
Your father.
Italians.
Your father,
Italian.
An Italian You're guy.
Right. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's me and my mom heading toward month two of us not talking because I made a joke.
Just talk, though, because things are weird in the world. Just talk to her. Just be the man. Be the man here. Be a bigger
You think
man.
I should apologize for making a joke?
Yeah, what do you care? So what? If you mean it or not, just apologize.
Just wanted more bang for my buck with a parent feud. Like, I really want to be like, oh yeah, she was right. I really crossed the line, but I really don't feel like I crossed the line.
Well, you want to break hers and Uncle Luigi's record of 8 years? What are you going to, what are you going to do?
Uncle Ricky.
Is it Uncle Ricky?
Uncle Ricky's like, it was the best 8 years of my life.
And now they talk now or yeah, Uncle Ricky's
gone?
They
talk that. No, they talk that. Uncle Ricky's
Well, maybe
great.
Call Uncle Ricky and get some advice from him.
Well, he'll be like, oh, keep it going.
No, he has a record like 72 Dolphins and the Falcons.
What an action-packed parent corner. All right, parent corner. Today's parent corner is brought to you by CarMax. With the CarMax Love Your Car Guarantee, you can take up to 30 days to decide if a car is the right fit, and you can return the car for any reason for a full refund up to 1,500 miles. Take the time to see how it really feels, whether you're commuting or heading out for a weekend adventure. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax. Car buying. Reimagined. All right, what do you got to plug, Sal?
Fox Bet Live, FS1, 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday, Thursday, Friday, and extrapoints.com. All your sports gambling needs are taken care of. Against all odds will be on Monday. So check all that out.
So Harry's going to be very braggadocious.
Yeah, I may have to cut his mic. I don't know.
Did Harry must have won money this weekend, right?
I think he did, although he had a lot on the Bills. And I think he had the Bills adjusted plus 4.5. The Bills plus 4.5 is a miserable loss.
I forgot about that. The tease is covered, but the adjusted lines did not cover.
Exactly.
Well, the thing with Harry is the Australian Open's going on right now, which is usually a death knell for him.
That's bad. He's betting Algerian soccer. He doesn't stop. He had 44 bets in as of last Saturday morning. I didn't even check on him this week.
Has Harry started to really hone in on the Winter Olympics or no?
Oh, no. No, I should find out what's going on.
I guarantee he has. I guarantee he's got snowboarding thoughts.
Yeah.
Maybe some Paris figure skating.
He is a mess. He is an absolute mess.
All right, Sal. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
I screwed that up. Good job. I was going to say, good job by you. Not a good job by Aaron Rodgers. Good job by you.
I'll take that.
Good job by you, buddy. All right. That's it for the podcast. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing. Thanks to Dylan Berkey. Thanks to Steve Cerruti. And we will be back on this feed on Tuesday. Don't forget, new rewatchables, Monday Night Casino. That is coming. And I'll see you here on Tuesday.